You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
Welcome back here on Hampshire Now. We're 914-15-NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by the Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. Two great locations, one the Concord Hospital campus, the other 125 North Main Street. Prescription Center will also deliver prescriptions to you free of charge. The Prescription Center, where the health of you and your family comes first. For more information, visit prescription-center.com. And this segment of the show is brought to you by P&N Automotive. I trust Chuck. He's the best in the capital region. I know it's so hard to find an honest garage. P&N Automotive, 140 Pleasant Street. Phone number, 225-4313. Again, that's 225-4313. Also want to talk to you about Loon Mountain. Still wide open across 320 acres. Late season skiing is really good. Loon was there last weekend. You can save on lift tickets by going to loonmtn.com/tickets. Welcome in right now for the focus on the New Hampshire economy. Business and Economic Affairs Commissioner here in the Granite State, Taylor Caswell. Taylor, how are you?
Good. Happy first day of spring.
Is it the first day of spring today?
Yes, it is. March 20th.
I didn't know that. But now I do.
Yes.
So that knowledge is upon me. You know, Mother Nature doesn't get told when the first day of spring is, though, particularly here in New Hampshire.
Neither do New Hampshire's ski areas.
No, they do not.
Just keep it going.
Just keep it going for as long as possible. And it's been a good winter up north, snow-wise. Not really, you know, here in Concord and below, feels like it's been below normal in terms of the amount of snow that's been received and the type of winter that we have had. But up north, they just got pounded throughout the entire winter, so there's still a ton of snow. Yep. Up there, and they'll stay open, obviously, into April. And a big event coming up at Waterville Valley this weekend as well. It starts on Saturday. It runs through Tuesday as the U.S. Alpine Ski Championships is taking place there. A lot of local ski stars who are rising up through the U.S. Olympic team ranks, and that should be a fun weekend. It's free for individuals to go and take part in that. There's going to be an autograph session with the skiers on Saturday. I think it's from 4 to 5 p.m. at Waterville Valley. So that's great to have that event back here in New Hampshire.
Yep. Yeah, we've got them this year, and then I think we take an off year next year, and they're back the year after that. Really, I mean, once again, here we go with the legacy of ski racing in New Hampshire and how critical it is to the U.S. national team. You know, you watch a lot of the FIS World Cup this year. You saw Michaela Schifrin just killing every single record there is. She's got a touch of a New Hampshire connection, but she did go up to the Burke Academy for a number of years in Vermont. But, you know, you look at Bodie Miller. He just had the Bodie Fest up at Cannon Mountain last Saturday. I did.
Yeah.
Swung by, say hi to Bodie. You know, and what he's doing there this year with his Turtle Ridge Foundation, raising a whole ton of money for some trail building in the Franconia Bethlehem area, really still connected to the local area. But it's great to see this legacy of ski racing across all of our great ski areas in New Hampshire continuing.
What's the feeling like in regards to tourism here in 2019? First quarter here is coming to a close. What's the expectations in regards to tourism numbers and real numbers?
We're seeing records being set in those categories again this year. We're on track in terms of room and meals tax revenue to be around 6% this year, maybe a little higher. That's growth over last year, that's a pretty solid number. That's the way that our division is measured, is how much revenue comes in. So it's been a really good ski season. As you mentioned earlier, there's still a lot of snow up north, and we'll drag that out as long as we can, get into the shoulder season, rebuild everything, lop a couple of branches, get ready for the summer season, and kick that off pretty shortly.
Yeah, that's one of the things about the White Mountains is that it has become a and maybe become is the wrong word, because I think there's always been a lot of interest throughout the course of the year in travel and tourism in the White Mountains, but I feel like it's more equitable perhaps than it had been in the past with winter, fall, spring, and summer. We've talked about it before that the fall is really the busiest time because of the foliage. Spring is probably the least busy time because of the mud and such. And
right.
But I feel like there's a much more interest in summer than there has been in the past. There's, you know, the heyday of the 70s and 80s where there were more attractions and stuff up there. and 90s. But I feel like, you know, with the amount of hiking that takes place, we've talked about this before too, where there's not even enough parking for all of the individuals that want to hike the White Mountains.
Yeah, well, it's really becoming an experience-based industry. So where before people would go to like Clark's Trading Post, and no knock on Clark's because they're doing great and they still have a strong appeal. But I think we're starting to see big growth in just, you're saying, people that want to go hike in the White Mountains, people that want to go do some mountain biking of all different levels, people that are looking for some whitewater experiences. And by the way, you know, I think we're going to see the growth of some pretty significantly competitive whitewater rafting and kayaking right in Franklin, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
They're actually reconfiguring the river that goes right through downtown, and looking to put a lot of faith in that outdoor recreation economy. But again, tying it back to the fact that people are looking for that type of experience, as opposed to just going up, staying for a couple of days, and hitting, you know, Storyland and Santa's Village and those sort of things.
So yeah, it's become more of a week type thing where you do those things, and again, it's different things for different groups of individuals, families. You know, Storyland and Whale's Tail and Clark's Trading Post are all huge. Ziplining has become really, really big as well, and we're seeing more ski resorts and things like Alpine Adventures build that out for their summer months.
Yep.
Outdoor recreation is becoming much more of an industry, where before it was, you know, individuals just kind of doing things. Like, you take your kayak, you drop it in the water. But now there's more group stuff, and there's more rental type stuff. And it seems like an industry is building around outdoor recreation.
No question about it. And in fact, you know, we're really starting to see that increasingly as a much broader strategy to take advantage of this outdoor recreation economy, and the fact that people are willing to come for those experiences and pay money for those experiences. That's great for our hospitality industry and for our tourism industry. But it also really serves as a moment of reflection, perhaps, for these people to say, why the heck am I driving 2.5 hours to have this experience only on the weekends, and maybe even once a month at that? Whereas if I lived up here and participated in our economy, which, by the way, is doing very well, I can do this every day, or maybe Thursday afternoons. That kind of experiences and making those connections is something we're increasingly working on.
That is Taylor Caswell, Business Economic Affairs Commissioner here on the New Hampshire Now program. This hour of the show presented by the Prescription Center, and this segment of the program brought to you by P&N Automotive as well as Loon Mountain. Wanted to touch upon an aspect of the economy, which we were talking about on the program yesterday, which is not so good. And that is in regards to, look at Concord and other school districts where the enrollment continues to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And individuals are waiting longer to have kids. And, you know, we are seeing an increase in terms of folks coming to the Granite State, of young people coming to the Granite State, but they're waiting longer and longer to have kids. And there are a lot of reasons for that. There's obviously tremendous cost that's associated with that. Individuals are carrying more debt than they have in the past, and don't have access to capital to purchase homes. Mm-hmm. What do you see in terms of that aspect of the economy, where you're right? I mean, the numbers, the traditional numbers are all great for New Hampshire, but, you know, we've talked about this before. There is this underlying issue of debt and, you know, millennials who are waiting longer and longer to have kids. There's also the high cost of childcare in the early years. How do you go about dealing with those types of issues, and or is it just the new norm that individuals are having fewer kids, and that is just the way that this is going to materialize moving forward?
Well, I mean, these are national trends. I mean,
right? It's not just in New Hampshire.
Not just New Hampshire. But
yeah, it's just for clarification. The Concord School District noticed this, and it was on par with Portland, Maine. It was on par with, I think, Boise, Idaho, and four or five other districts partook in this, and it was a national trend, not a New Hampshire trend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we're really looking to be able to do is take pieces of this and use them in the larger outreach to younger communities to come to New Hampshire. And, you know, a lot of this is all relative, of course. I mean, if you're in Boston or you're in New York or you're in Washington and you're trying to buy a house there and carry a debt load plus pay off your student debts, that's a lot harder of an experience mm-hmm. than it would be even in New Hampshire. So that's one. But two, you know, in the governor's budget, we put in legislation. There was a provision in there to establish around a $30 million student debt elimination program mm-hmm. that would allow businesses to partner with Business Finance Authority was going to put together this program that would allow for if you stayed in New Hampshire for up to 5 years, for your student debts to be effectively wiped out. And that wouldn't be necessarily in regard to any specific industry or any specific type of employer, but that was part of the overall strategy of workforce development that we worked on as part of that bill, which is a pretty big deal, I think. And it hasn't been talked about a lot, but it is something that would be a huge advantage to New Hampshire as we build these pipelines and these pathways and we get younger people to come here, have their family, raise them here, you know, get them in the Concord School District. I think that's all still very possible. But in terms of the trends of how late people are waiting to have kids and, you know, when they're doing it, when they're doing it, what they're considering, you know, whether it's financial or otherwise, like I said, those are national trends that every state is dealing with. But we're trying to effectively set up pathways, not just for the parents, but for those kids too.
Stamps Now on KXL. I am Chris Ryan. We're inside the Concord Photo Service Main Street studio. This hour of the program is presented by the Prescription Center. In this segment of the show, brought to you by P&N Automotive as well as Loon Mountain, drawn by Taylor Caswell, Business and Economic Affairs Commissioner here in the Granite State. Sticking on affordable housing, Senator Feltes was in on Tuesday talking about a piece of legislation that he's working on with Senator Bradley on this issue. What do you see affordable housing being in terms of key economic issue moving forward? And, you know, it was interesting earlier today, Peter Evers and Tim Sink crossed paths, Peter from Riverbend Community Mental Health and Tim from the Greater Concord Chamber of Commerce, and both have very differing issues, their feelings about affordable housing, where Peter is looking at individuals who are suffering from mental illness being displaced from their homes because developers are purchasing apartments downtown or purchasing buildings downtown and looking to make more higher end apartments, and these individuals being displaced and not have anywhere to go. And Tim looks at this and says, "Oh, this is a great sign for that Concord is changing and that it's more of a destination and so forth." So it's kind of it was interesting seeing kind of the crossing of paths of the two philosophies. And you know, that it does raise a significant issue in that, as a place becomes a destination, as you were talking about with Boston, rents rise, buildings go up for sale, individuals are displaced, and that has a significant effect on a community as well.
Yeah, no question about it. And here, you know, this is, again, I think a question for a lot of communities that are growing and seeing, some advancement in their downtown economies or wherever it might be. But really, communities need to start and think about what are the issues that are going to come as a result of this, and how are we going to plan to accommodate that? You can't just have an economy that only applies to certain people. And you got to have planning in place. You got to consider, who's going to be displaced? How is that going to work? Is there going to be any need for further investment in any other types of programs as part of it? I mean, I talk all the time about the fact that we need to be able to have an economy that works as well as possible for as many people as possible. And so those are important questions, I think. But as it relates to housing and affordable housing and workforce housing or whatever you want to call it, we have a need for housing in New Hampshire. As we continue to see the growth, you know, we set another record last month with the number of people working, people in the workforce in New Hampshire. We're not seeing a lot of people leaving. We see more people coming to New Hampshire. And those people have specific requirements or expectations as it comes to where they're going to live. And in some communities we can meet that, in others we can't. So I talk about appropriate housing. What you need for the housing in downtown Manchester for a workforce that's going to be doing biotech work at a younger age is different probably than what you're looking to be able to accommodate here in Concord. So I really believe that each individual community has to start thinking about these issues very, very seriously, making a plan for it, and figuring out how they're going to get down that path.
What do you see being more predominant at this point in conclusion? Individuals that are moving to New Hampshire because they want to move to New Hampshire and looking for a job after they have moved, or individuals who are moving here because of work and finding a place to live after that?
I think it's both. I mean, honestly, and I think it depends on the location.
But it used to be driven mostly by the work. You would move to where you could find work, correct? And
yeah.
Then, so it's the fact that it's on a par is different than we've seen in the past.
You go with the jobs, right? You always went with the job. And you remember, it wasn't that long ago, people are hopping all over the place.
Right.
You know, a company moves here, they go get that job. It's interesting because the national trends on that are very, very different than they were just a few years ago. People are staying where they are. And I think it's a little bit of the dynamic that you're talking about where people are choosing the community first and making a dedication to a community.
Yeah. I think particularly that mindset with millennials is that they saw, you know, their parents work their entire lives in jobs and become just dedicated and focused on that. And I think that the living aspect is more focused upon than it has been in the past. Finding a place that you enjoy, that you call home, that's a community. And then the work kind of goes along with that. And again, that's anecdotally speaking. But I think that that's one of the things that's driving individuals coming out of college or out of high school is to find a life that they enjoy and have work as a part of that more than in the past.
Yeah, and people that grew up here that went away for a while and are looking for that experience once again, maybe to raise their own family. There's a growing term around that called homecomers. And I really think that there's a number of people who have gone away, have learned either a skill or, you know, have some sort of advocacy that they really want to manage. You can be a small fish in a big pond in a city on any of those issues, whether they're social issues or whether they're, you know, professional issues or work issues or whatever they might be. But if you come to New Hampshire or you go back to your hometown and you apply those, I mean, the impact that you're going to have is just hugely magnified. And and you can help these rural communities and you can help your home state and you can do all these sort of things. That's increasingly a message that I'm thinking we might want to do some more with.
Yeah, that's Taylor Caswell joining us, New Hampshire's Business and Economic Affairs Commissioner here in the focus on the New Hampshire economy on the New Hampshire Now program. I'm Chris Ryan. This hour of the show presented by the Prescription Center and this segment of the show presented by P&N Automotive as well as Loon Mountain. I want to take a second to talk to you as well about Granite State Independent Living's 8th Annual Wheelchair Basketball Tournament, which is taking place this weekend. It is free for individuals to go and watch, and it's on Saturday the 23rd beginning at 8 a.m. And you can check out more information at gsil.org/hoops. It is presented by Merrimack County Savings Bank. This is New Hampshire Now on KXL. Back with more after this.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.